You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome.
Fuck!
To the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam!
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
I'd like to slow everything down just a little bit because last week was a bit of reckless sprint with emotion and cocaine in it because we were free and it was exciting and there was a new energy and a new vitality on the show that you guys could hear and we felt. In here doing the show, there was a vibrancy. We felt like it was vibrating in here. It felt so good to be doing the show on totally our terms, speaking directly to you during what we think is a very cool pirate stage here where we feel untethered, we feel scared, we feel excited. We're starting a startup business that has a whole lot of potential, and we want you to see everything that we're doing transparently and honestly so that you're on the ride with us, because we don't think an opportunity like this has existed for anyone who's ever done radio the way that we're presently doing it, where we're a hugely popular thing, but now we have no rules, no restrictions. It's pirate radio. It is, you can do whatever the hell you want. So one day I'm drinking tequila at 9 o'clock in the morning. And the next day, it feels like freedom and democracy are falling apart. Now, I need to offer a couple of apologies here on the front end because last week was so discombobulating. It was, I don't know if you've ever been, Stugatz, in the funhouse where the floor moves in different ways and you're always feeling like you're going to fall because everything feels unstable. It's fun and crazy, but your footing isn't what it normally is.
It's why it's called the funhouse, Dan.
Thank you, Stugatz. Yep. So it's also a bit disconcerting, though, and I personally have fallen on metal tectonic plates that are moving because I prefer generally, as a life principle, balance. Just, I prefer to have my balance. This has been, okay, as exciting as it's been, and you can hear the excitement in our voice, it has been super scary for me, because I'm not an entrepreneur. It's why I'm summoning every friend I have and every resource I have. I've never needed like this because I am a creative. I want to spend all of my time working on that damn long stat of the day song. That's where I want my entire existence to be. I do not want to be dealing with lawyers or insurance people or benefits or phone calls or Zoom meetings or all the crud that has totally engulfed my life for the last couple of months. So when I have all that in my life, and then you have the unbelievable emotional horror of feeling in the middle of it, like freedom is under siege, democracy is under siege, everything you've ever believed about your America is under siege. What ends up happening in that one show, Untethered, with the tectonic plates moving under my feet the day after I'm watching something on television, then none of us who have ever been alive, no matter your age, have ever seen in this country, what ended up happening to me on Thursday, that's going to require some apologies here to both the audience and some other entities. The audience I want to apologize to because I was too emotional, too scared. In all of those conversations we were having with some of our favorite guests, I was way too amped up. We didn't do normal show, and we also didn't do those conversations with those people the way that we would do them normally. I was inserting show and my opinion instead of just talking to our guests and friends, trying to do show, and what ended up happening was a lopsided version of what we do, where the first 2 days of the week, you're getting tequila drinking and hijinks and the stuff that people love about our show that is always attention around here. When's it going to be serious and dangerous? When's Dan going to do the social stuff? And when's it going to be everybody gets to run around like rodeo clowns and it becomes the thing that people probably love the most about this show, which is Dan getting frustrated, annoyed, and, hey, Dan's trying to work here. Why won't anybody let him work? I think that's a comedic goldmine for everyone involved with this show.
But I love the range of the show where we could do that for a couple of days, and then a couple of days we all drove in that day knowing what that day was going to be from a show standpoint, that it was a serious topic, and you're great with those topics, and we were going to bring people on to talk about him, because Lord knows you can't talk about it with me.
Well, this is what I want to apologize for, though, and I just want to offer a couple of public apologies here before we get back to doing the regular show the way that we do it, because there was a lack of balance there, and I'm telling you that the lack of balance came from I was scared in my professional life, scared by what I'm watching on television. Sure. It feels like the place my parents fled, just scared. So I want to apologize to the audience for wherever it is that I went astray, was a little strident, was a little obnoxious, and so you didn't get the balance on the show. I'd also like to apologize. Last week, I called Clay Travis a shit stain, and I would like to take this opportunity right now to apologize to shit stains. Shit stains, you do not deserve that comparison. I am sorry that I made that comparison. I was emotional. I was scared. I was unfair to shit stains. So what I want to talk about with you today, Stu Gatz, is because Marco Rubio has infuriated me by doing the same thing that Clay Travis did, which is trying to skip away from this shit that you caused, that you enabled, that you were complicit on. Hey, I didn't say anything about violence. No. You don't get to walk away when a police officer is getting his skull beaten in to death by a fire extinguisher because of the megaphone and the support that you two have offered this madman. You two specifically. Marco Rubio saying yesterday, oh, that's not conservatives. No, man, you enabled this. You were complicit. You supported it. And now the Frankenstein monster, because it was made of parts from the morgue and you can't control it, now you walk away as if you didn't have anything to do with it. And when there are people on the Kentucky Capitol with dozens of people armed and emboldened, you did that. You gave them the power to feel like that is okay. You freedom fighters, alleged freedom fighters, as you're sitting here saying, nah, the mask is an infringement. You didn't realize the impingement you were bringing upon our freedoms. And only by the grace of God that mob was so disorganized and so stupid that a guy tases himself in the dick and dies of a heart attack and another person has a don't tread on me shirt while being trampled. Only because your mob is so idiotic was that not actual power changing in this country in a way that was armed and ending up with our power tied up by idiots. You enabled that. You were complicit and you supported it. The reason, Travis, that Donald Trump went on your show is so that he could speak directly to them. You did that. You don't get to walk away. You do not get to walk away. And also, no, I'm not going on your show. I'll never go on your show. And sure shit, not because I'm afraid of you, because I get the clicks now. Not you doing it. I get the clicks now. I'm going to do what I want here, and I'm going to speak my truth here, because what happened there, you should be ashamed of, because freedom shook because of what you enabled, allowing that monster to speak to people in a way that still Stugatz, a police officer, Stugatz, got his head caved in by a fire extinguisher. We are now getting the reported details on this thing, and they are horrifying. And as of yesterday, I don't know if this has changed, Mike, still the president of the United States, who is said to be delighted by the storming of the Capitol, as of yesterday, flags still not flying at half staff as of yesterday. Has that changed?
That has changed. And there's all sorts of reports there that as it was happening, the president was delighted. And then one of his main takeaways was in terms of not liking the optics of it appearing low class as he speaks to hundreds of thousands of people, knowing exactly who his base is, finally gets talked into lowering flags at half mast for the officer that was murdered by those terrorists.
So you've got rifle-toting militia members, Stugatz, the Kentucky Capitol, where McConnell is. They're hailing. These are dozens of people hailing the D.C. rioters. And it's all terrifying. Now, I'm assuming and hoping, and again, this is not a politics show. Politics has been foisted upon us. I have, if you've been listening to our show for 20 years, you know that the thing that I find interesting here is race. That race relations are the thing that I'm fascinated by. And I do believe if those had been Black Lives Matter protesters, Stugatz, I do believe that you would have had black bodies on the steps of the Capitol piled up like firewood. Because this is what I'm led to believe. And you guys help me out on this because I'm legitimately curious. I only have one of three options to choose from. Give me a fourth, Stugatz. I'm dying to have a fourth. Somebody give me a fourth. These are my three options on how we arrive at you are there to protect democracy, freedom, the symbols for this country that this country stands for. And what ends up happening is our police force ends up getting overrun because these people were simply led into the building with equipment that would have tied up the power in the country. What are those called? Those handcuffs.
Zip ties. Yeah.
So this is my, you tell me what the fourth option is on this, because these are the only three I can see from where I'm standing on a day where I was more horrified on behalf of America than I have ever been in terms of feeling freedom threatened. And I've been telling you, Stugatz, right, as rubber bullets are shooting into American citizens, I've been telling you that we have been headed here for a while where it feels like freedom is being attacked, democracy, core values, the things that America is supposed to stand for seem to be under siege. So these are the three options as far as I can see it. One, someone told those police officers to let everybody in. Two, those police officers didn't see black faces, so they didn't see anything that felt like threat until all of a sudden a fire extinguisher is caving in a police officer's skull. So you're seeing white people and you're not feeling threatened by it. Three, both.
I would say combo of both, and there is no fourth option. I would say there's, to me, because it is hard for me to understand how that many people got that close to that building at that exact time. So, for me, someone had to say, hey, let those people in, and then B, Stugatz, they were mostly white.
Stugatz, they got in. They got there because the president demanded it. It was a call to action. The president, the reason we're talking about the president possibly being impeached and the reason we see scared.
He said he'd walk with them.
Well, it's not coincidental, and nor is it lacking in symbolism that he said he would and then didn't.
Correct.
That he didn't actually get into the fray, that he just, he incited the riot. And then the next thing you have happen is Twitter and Facebook and Instagram all take away his freedoms because you can't. You can't have that. But it's too late now. All of you were complicit here. All of you enabled. All of you, Marco Rubio and Clay Travis. You don't get to walk away now. In fact, not only do you not get to walk away now, take their heads, Marco Rubio and Clay Travis, and like a dog that shit on their carpet, put their face in it and don't let them move. Hey, I didn't say anything about violence. No, stay there and look at the shit you made. Smell it and have it be smeared on your face because you did this. You enabled it, you were complicit, and you supported this madman throughout all of this, and that's what it wrought. It wrought a fire extinguisher caving in the skull of someone who was protecting the power.
Hold Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg's face to that shit.
Yes,
as well,
of course,
because they come down with the decision to finally suspend him, and it's not lost, I don't think, on anyone here that that decision comes days after those tech CEOs realize that, oh, the Democrats now have the House, Senate, and executive branch, and now there are going to be oversight commissions on this. You were right to mention what happened in Kentucky. Donald Trump should have been suspended long ago, but I was myself stunned when everything was going on in Michigan, remember? Because that escalated from...
to a possible kidnapping.
Yeah. But before that, remember when those armed MAGA supporters showed up to the governor's mansion and were very threatening and were like, well, this would never happen to BLM. And Donald Trump had the nicest things to say about those people. And then a few days later, a plan is investigated and discovered and people are arrested because there was a kidnapping, probably fueled by the nice things, not probably, definitely fueled by the nice things that Donald Trump said about their previous efforts, which only ratcheted them up. It grew in Michigan, and you could see it growing over the nation. And much like there was that instance in the governor's mansion that preceded the actual plan for the kidnapping, there was plenty of rallies across the nation where it wasn't dog whistles. The guy was saying it into microphones and we were broadcasting it and he was putting it on his social media and we allowed it to happen.
Stugatz, the part that is most dispiriting to me about seeing everything that has happened in this country with the people who have supported and enabled this and made it complicit is the amount of soul selling required to continue to get closer and closer to that evil just because it represents power. And I'm speaking to you, Marco Rubio, and I'm speaking to you, Clay Travis. It validated you being that close to the power and you didn't give a shit that it was evil. And only when it caved in a police officer's head with a fire extinguisher do you throw up your hands and say, wait, I didn't mean to get that close to the power. No, you enabled it. You did that. You don't get to walk away from it. I never incited that. Why do you think, Clay Travis, that Donald Trump went on your show twice? What's the best guest you've ever gotten? Pat Shermer? Like, why do you think he went on that show twice? He went on that show twice so he could speak to his goons because he knows that his goons are your goons. You don't get to walk away from that, dude.
He got Pat Shermer? Dan brought up shit stains, and I was wondering if you've ever had a shit stain so bad that you were embarrassed to throw it into your laundry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's a dangerous game.
Yeah, dude, with my 3-year-old, that's my life right now, is just underwear with shit stains on it. I just want to throw the underwear in the trash, and my wife gets mad at me.
No, but I'm wondering you personally, like recently, have you had a shit stain that you were so embarrassed about that you didn't want to throw it into your laundry because you didn't want your wife to know that your underwear looked like that? What a terrible question.
It really is. But it's also,
it's happened to
it's
me.
Also, but it's also a terrible question that is shrouded in clearly this has happened to Stugatz. So you're asking a question, but you need to give us the details on, and this is surprising to no one in the audience, Stugatz. Your laundry must be so filled with shit stains.
Stugatz, you've reached the point where I'm looking at you like, no, that's
no,
never
no,
happened
right?
to me.
No, he's asking that question because...
And listen, Chris, I am responding to your look by looking at you saying that f***ing happens to you every single night.
Roy,
what are you talking
Roy,
about?
Where are you with this, Roy? Roy, you were totally
disgusted.
Yes. Roy.
Roy, tell us about your shit stains, Roy. Come on.
No, Roy,
I don't have any.
Roy is clean. I believe Roy is the one who taught us, certainly, I believe it was black people who taught us that white people and black people and Latin people culturally use washcloths differently because of some of this. Was that you, Roy, or was that just a general conversation that we stumbled upon where black people were mortified that the same soup, the same soap that white people use for their ass is something they use for their face?
That is a, yeah, that was a general conversation that spurred on by an episode of Chappelle's Show, actually. And yeah, it's absolutely true. It's facts. And we use rags around here. I don't know what you guys are doing with this bar of soap situation, but everybody has to use that bar of soap. And I'm sorry, I can't live in the same house as somebody who's doing that. Can't now, do that.
I have to admit, I was a late bloomer when it came to the body wash. A couple years ago, old Chris was doing that ass to face.
We need
to. Yeah, there's a certain order that you got going when it comes to that, by the way. So, yeah.
The ass has to be last so that somebody else in your family gets stuck with the soap. Not you going in first.
You got to work your way down, Chris. You work your way down.
So let's backtrack for a second here because Stugatz thinks he's going to wiggle away and he's not.
Oh, I thought you forgot the details of my shit.
Tried to help,
stay.
Stu. Tried to help.
Mike, is it possible to get Abby on the Zoom? I want to go through Stugatz's literal dirty laundry. I want to figure out.
Here's what I promise you with Abby. She will not show her face on the Zoom. She might call into a Zoom, but she's not going to show her face on the Zoom.
Is it worth doing, though? Is it worth doing sort of, this is uncomfortable, and you usually allow us near all of your dirty laundry.
I don't care if she wants to talk, all of your
dirty baggage, but yeah. We are about to get to, now, do you wear tighty whities or do you wear darker underwear to conceal some of
Please
this?
Please say tighty whities.
Yeah,
Please
I don't wear, I mean, well, listen. Listen, wearing white underwear is a dangerous game. I don't do it.
Billy, put it on the poll. Is wearing white underwear a dangerous
It's a dangerous,
game. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show.
So I typically go navy or I go black, but occasionally I go gray. And so the time I am referencing, I went gray. Now, it's a light gray, so you could still see the stain very, very easily and well. It stands out. Dan, it was just one of those afternoons. I mean, you know, I went to the bathroom before I played golf. I didn't wipe three or four times. It was a little swampy, a little hot out. I got a little swampy down there, and the underwear was kind of sticking.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so when I was done playing golf and got back and, you know, changed my clothes, I noticed something that I hadn't seen since I was a child.
And that's what made you think of all of this stuff that we're talking about?
Well, I mean, you mentioning Clay Travis is what got me to think about this. You said shit stains.
Again, I'd like to apologize to all shit stains. I was unnecessarily cruel. It is wrong what I did in terms of putting your name on a T-shirt and putting on worldofsui.com. Dan Lebatard called me a shit stain today, which is one of the favorite quotes I've ever seen in American history.
Now, I don't know if Mike has gotten a hold of Abby, and you could talk to her about the laundry. The other funny thing you might want to ask Abby about is I am walking around the house. I am singing two songs. I'm just blurting out two songs. Freedom by George Michael. I just keep singing it like it's our national anthem, okay? That and Justin Fields Forever. I am trying to work out this song, Strawberry Fields Forever. Justin Fields Forever. And I'm because that's who the Jets are going to get.
Yeah, Beatles are very litigious.
I know. And I think I'm starting to get on Abby's nerves.
All right. Well, Abby, thank you for joining us. It's been a long time. I can't talk to you enough. I probably need to apologize to you just because the last few months have been quite the horror here where your husband has entrusted the entirety of your family's future to me quietly. And everyone here is going to get taken care of. But I do appreciate having gone through some of these negotiations before with your husband and having him get involved in a way that made things a little extra messy. I do appreciate that the Stugatz family has given me this trust with their futures because everyone's going to get taken care of.
Thank you for pointing that out. Can you please explain to her? She asks me on a daily basis, what are you guys doing? And I say, I don't know. Well, and she's like, how the hell do you not know? You're his partner.
Abby, I will tell you off air. I don't think that. Is that a conversation we want to have on air? Tell me.
No,
okay.
No.
Well, it's not. No. It's more that I trust Dan way more than I trust John. So when he says Dan knows what's going, you know, he knows what, you know, is in our best interest and he's looking after you guys. It gives me better hope that the end result will be something amazing because he put your name in there. And if he just said, I got it under control, that'd be very
Oh, I'd be terrified.
Right. Yeah, but Dan has it under control. It's a totally different story. You're right, honey. I am
trying to keep it under control, but it's been very stressful. And I've learned the lessons, Abby. I don't know if you remember, but there was one time that your husband got his hands, all his fingerprints all over the negotiations, and the result was him with less money and me losing my
She's hearing this for the first time.
Yes,
man.
I
don't remember that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Okay, all right. So anyway, so there were reasons that the Stugatz family had to be kept in the dark, and everyone, it's going to work out for everybody, even though I've had to purchase life insurance. This is the only thing that will get in our way, is the any sort of calamity. But the thing that we're having you on to discuss, and this is personal and it's dangerous, it's Stugatz's laundry, specifically his underwear. So what are you comfortable discussing there? Because we were just discussing poop stains, and I said that your laundry experience has to be unpleasant, having been married to him for a long time. And then he started talking about swampiness and all sorts of things. So where do you want me to lead your beloved wife here on this subject?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a simple question. Like, Abby, for the most part, I wear black and blue underwear. A smart job by you getting me those color underwears.
Yeah, because that's why I got those colors.
Right, because you got me, I noticed you got me a pack of whites one time.
No, bad idea.
And that's a very dangerous game. Abby, you and I have discussed this, and I'm guessing that you went away from the whites because you noticed just an uncomfortable amount of
okay, that's enough
of poop stains.
Yeah, that's really enough. But maybe I noticed it once or twice, and I definitely resorted to only blue and I guess black. But I don't really want to look. I mean, I know about you guys speaking about standing up and wiping or sitting or whatever you do, and I realize that you do have an odd way of doing wiping or whatever you do, so I'm assuming the underwear is not a pleasant sight, so I usually just dump it in, and fortunately you have someone who cleans once a week and she'll do the laundry, so I don't really have that much contact with the underwear.
I didn't botch up the negotiation that bad. You got someone who comes and cleans the goddamn house.
To be clear then, Abby, what you're basically doing is whenever you happen upon Stugatz underwear, you just take it and throw it in a pile without any further inspection. So you're making assumptions about it, but you don't want to see any hard truths.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's pretty much, you got it. Yep.
Have you ever seen a hard truth? Have you ever seen, with the white underwear?
I have in the last 20 years, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But probably after the first time I was traumatized, so I don't really
very good.
Care, you know, to look.
You know what I'd like to see is a sandwich. You didn't make
come
a sandwich.
On, man.
No, I don't have a sandwich. Listen, I'm working hard here.
You're working hard.
I have jumped off a cliff with you. I wanted a sandwich. I wanted a turkey roast beef today.
Do my laundry in a sandwich? Excuse That's where
me.
We are.
Oh, I do the laundry. Abby, tell him how good I am at doing laundry. Seriously. Tell Dan how good I am at doing laundry.
Yes, when you do it, the two times a year you do it, you are good. But let's go back to the sandwiches for 1 second. I definitely make you sandwiches more often than not, and you always come home with them, and they're thrown away in the garbage, so I just figured, forget it. I'm done with the sandwiches.
Stugatz, how
Why
is
you take two bites?
All right, Abby, thank you for doing this. Hold on. Stay here for a second. Mike, how is it that every time Stugatz files an accusation against somebody, even his wife, it comes back and he's in the wrong? Mm-hmm. So she's been making sandwiches. He complains about her not making sandwiches. He comes home with sandwiches that then get thrown out. Of course she's not going to make you any more sandwiches.
Well, make a good one.
Oh, for the love of God.
What happened there? Who said that?
Mike, what are we going to do? This is not a 2021 conversation with Abby where he's like, do my laundry, make my sandwiches, clean my shit stains. Also, I work so hard. Abby must find that one funny.
I'm made very uncomfortable at the marriage dynamics right now.
Well, I love you, honey.
Yeah, I love you too.
I didn't feel very confident in that one.
See you later, Abby. Thank you for being on.
All you do is complain about me. Goodbye.
Well, I mean, all you do is complain about me. I don't have answers for you. We're in Dan's hands. I mean,
unbelievable.
No. The other day we asked you one question. You said, I can't do everything. I said, nobody asks you to do everything. Your one job is to go to work, and that's what you love to do, and that's what you do. Nobody needs you for anything else. I got it covered.
What was the thing? I forgot.
This is getting uncomfortable. Abby, thank you. What's going on with the songs? Him singing Freedom and Justin Fields Forever.
Oh, Freedom. The Freedom song is just.
I'm scared. Abby, I'm scared of your husband with Freedom. I'm scared of him with Freedom.
I know. I am too.
Billy has a question for you. Billy has.
Abby, what year of marriage is this?
19.
Which would you say was the 19. Toughest year?
Yeah, toughest year of marriage.
Which number year is the toughest?
Because Chris thinks that he, in the first
it's
year.
It's 1 or 7 right, so far.
Chris thinks it's the first year of marriage, which is the honeymoon phase.
No, absolutely not. Not when you, there's no kids involved, so that's definitely right, not.
Exactly.
What's the toughest? I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's all hard, but I don't think there's one that sticks out that's the toughest. I think it gets easier, actually, because kind of. Yeah. Do your own thing, and you don't need each other for everything. And
then suddenly, that would lead to believe that the first year is the toughest.
And then suddenly you're in Dan's hands and not mine, and then you're right, it is getting easier for us. You're right.
I can't
right, exactly.
We ended
the trust
up-
is in Dan.
Yes,
Abby. Good talking to you. I'll call you off air if you have any questions.
Oh, she has them.
Well, I know she can be trusted with information. You're the one that nobody trusts around here. Thank you for being on with us, Abby.
You're welcome.
Love
all right.
You.
Take
love,
care.
Love
bye-bye.
You, honey.
Love right. you. Right, love you, hon. Bye.
See ya.
So, Mike, what do we do with this? Because you were cringing throughout that entire conversation.
Oh, listen, I don't want to get into this whole thing. Listen, my wife is independent. She can do whatever the hell she wants. She can get a job. She doesn't have to get a job. She's not the one who's making this sandwich.
Is this you making it better?
This is your apology?
No, she's not doing, like, chores. I pitch in. Like, she would tell you. I do the laundry. I do a lot of stuff. The one thing I ask for, because I'm not good at it.
Don't do the sandwich thing again.
I am not good at making a sandwich. My fingers are fat.
Stugatz, you're doing the thing. Do you remember?
What?
Do you remember?
There's certain things I can't do. I mean.
Do you remember at the Masters, when the Masters was objecting to women being allowed at the Masters, some guy showed up at the protests with signs that read, iron my shirt and make me a sandwich. Like, you could have said almost anything other than do my laundry and make me a sandwich in 2021. Like this.
You told your wife to get back in the kitchen.
I mean, no, she doesn't do my laundry. We were asking. First off, she never makes me a sandwich anyway. Don't listen to me.
She says she makes you sandwiches, and then you come home with them, and she's got to throw them out. Mike, tell me I'm wrong about this. Every damn time that Stugatz blames someone else for something, like, hey, you didn't return any of my calls. The answer is always, what do you mean? The last call, the last 10 calls have been from me to you. It's always the way these transactions work with him.
I know what's going on here. We're building a company, and this is one of those oversights. When we worked for the worldwide leader, we'd have stars like Mark Hamill telling us what is appropriate to say on the air and not. We need a compliance video for Stugatz.
Really?
Yeah, you need to be trained.
Really?
Yeah, there's
Stugatz, what just happened
on
there,
my marriage.
Stugatz, what just happened there isn't okay. It's okay enough to not get us in real trouble because it's sort of a sprawling nonsense, but by itself without context. Think about this, okay? The people listening to this understood what happened there, and there aren't any things there that are going to be problematic for us by themselves. But absent context, make me a sandwich after talking to your wife about cleaning your shit stains in your laundry is not a great look for our show.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see that.
So let's go ahead and make that the compliance video, shall we, Mike? It's a little late. We're making our compliance video after we've had the problem because there are no rules or regulations right now. We could actually get in trouble with headlines, and what's the punishment going to be? It would have to be me firing you or John Skipper firing
Listen,
you.
Listen, I trusted you, man. You're going to fire me now?
I think we're going to suspend you from co-host. We're going to suspend you from co-host for one segment.
Okay, he's suspended. Yeah. Make him go sit in the penalty box. Yeah. We're going to start the national.
We need to find the new Stugatz.
Oh, yes, wow. We're gonna let's see if we can find a new Stugatz
let's
here for the
a
next
new
segment.
Stugatz.
Let's do that next.
Good luck, assholes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.